Blog Talk Radio.
Close to April, April Fool's Day. On this day, March 27th, Carlo Bonaparte Day, or Bonaparte, father of Napoleon Bonaparte, Carlo was a lawyer, Corsican, and maybe this is where you've heard of the Code Napoleon. This Napoleon imposed this legal code on France when he became emperor, set himself up as Emperor of France. And maybe he got some of this from his father, Carlo, who was a lawyer. Another French event in 1787, Louis the 17th was a pretender to the throne of France. Didn't get very far. More French news. It's 1809. George Eugene Haussmann was the architect employed by Napoleon. If you've been to Paris or you've seen pictures of Paris, you'll notice how wide the boulevards are. There was a reason for that. Napoleon remembered the uprisings in Paris, so he told Haussmann to make the boulevards wide so that they could, when the army brought up cannons to put down any insurrection, they could turn the cannons around real quickly and drop them. If there were narrow streets, as you've seen in some European cities, he couldn't do this. Napoleon was a brilliant artilleryman. In fact, even Wellington played credit to him, the Battle of Waterloo. And Napoleon made his fame by beating off the French Navy, the British Navy at Toulon. And then you see in Paris, Boulevard Haussmann. Among the other military history, Adolphus Washington Greely was a U.S. general. He was the chief of the Signal Corps, and he developed a lot of telecommunications for the military, which are used throughout the world. A lot of medical events on this day. Wilhelm Roentgen, he invented the X-ray. We also have the guy who he died. What the hell was his name? Joseph Parker Paynard. He developed medicated plaster, so you can use plaster on, or they could use them like on broken, to make a splint for broken hands. Another event today, 1914, the first successful blood transfusion occurred in, of all places, Brussels. Usually in Europe, when you hear about medical history, it's either Vienna or Berlin. In fact, Americans for years would go to study medicine at the medical schools in Germany and in Vienna. Other events today, great French composer and teacher Vincent Dondi. We had, if you ever been in a Rolls Royce, well, Sir Henry Royce, born on this day, and one of the chichis of William Randolph Hearst I, Gloria Swanson. The father, one of the fathers of American photography, Edward Strykins, born this day. Great black jazz singer, Sarah Vaughan. let's see, who else? Newsman and great author of the Gideon's Trumpet. He died earlier this week. Anthony Lewis. He worked for the New York Times. He studied law for a year at Harvard. He was a protege of James Reston, known as Scotty Restaurant. Anthony Lewis is also, it's not known that his wife was in, his name Margaret Marshall. She's from South Africa. She became Chief Justice in the Massachusetts Supreme Court and when she was the, one of the first to promote gay lesbian marriage. She survives Lewis, who died. And then some interesting things about Lewis, which was in the New York Times obit on him, and we'll get into it Friday. Great Russian cellist, he liked vodka and women, Mstislav Rostropovich, great actor, The Fugitive, David Janssen, another great musician, Richard Heyman, born on this day. The last French pope died on this day in 1378, Gregory the 11th. James the I, he was Mary, Queen of Scots' son. He succeeded Elizabeth, Queen of as when she was died, she was the long reigning Queen of England. James became a Protestant. He was named by Elizabeth to succeed her because she had no children. And he had a son, Charles. The guy who discovered and explored Tanganyika, Vernon Cameron, born on this day. You don't hear too much about him, but Tanganyika, they do have great coffee. And the British, of course, had their plantations there. The guy, American, who was a botanist and as well as a geologist, Alexander Agassiz, died on this day. Among the great events, he was looking for the Fountain of Youth on 1513 Ponce de Leon, sighted Florida. In 1625, Charles I became the son of James of England, became King of England, and he got into trouble with Parliament, and he eventually lost the battles with Cromwell and the Roundheads, and he lost his head. There's a great movie with Alec Guinness, who plays Charles I. His son, Charles II, was the last of the Stuarts who reigned over England, or who were kings. And Charles II gave Bombay to the East Indian Company, and of course the Indians resented what they considered was the predatory business activity of the East Indian Company. And then in 1713, and the Spanish still want this property back, Spain lost Gibraltar to the British, and the British will not give it back. Also, Gibraltar is one of the financial repositories for these businessmen who are involved in international pornography. We'll get into that another day. In 1794, Congress authorized the president to provide for naval armament. So I guess this is a Navy Day, and we should play something to honor that. And, of course, let's see. Oh, yeah, the guy who invented kerosene. This is interesting. Abraham Gessner. And this was one of the things that Rockefeller, the first Rockefeller, made his money on and then moved into gasoline. The guy who, now if you ever, men who had to use a urinal, Andrew Rankin invented the urinal on this day. The guy, if you ever used a corkscrew, Mr. Brankett invented the corkscrew, MJ. Andrew Johnson, the 17th president of the United States, vetoed the civil rights legislation by Congress, and it was overturned, and we got the 14th Amendment. In 1912, the Japanese sent over their first cherry blossom trees, which were planted in Washington, D.C. Unfortunately, in 1924, the Canadians recognized the USSR, and of course, Igor Grishenko was a cipher clerk in the Soviet embassy in Ottawa, and he defected, bringing with him information after World War II that there was communist subversion and spying in North America. and we believe that some of the people who are so-called progressives came from Canada into the United States to undermine our national security. In 1940, since this is Passover week, Himmler ordered the building of the Auschwitz concentration camp, where a lot of Jews and gays and Untermenschen were either worked to death, and when they were no longer useful, were gassed. 1945, Iwo Jima was finally captured by the U.S. Marines. It cost the Japanese 22,000 dead, and the Americans, we lost 6,000 dead. In 1952, the Konrad Adenauer, who became the Chancellor of West Germany when it was still separated, there was an assassination attempt on him. Adenauer studied law, and what he used to do, he'd stay up as late as he could. He would put his feet, bare feet, in a pan of cold water to keep himself awake. That's how he studied law. Very interesting. 1956. French commandos landed in Algeria because the Algerians wanted their freedom, and this war lasted, really bled the French, and then, of course, they had the internal problem with the colons, the French settlers who settled there, and they were called Pied Noir, or Blackfoot, Blackfeet, and, of course, the French elements of the French army, General Salon, several others, revolted against de Gaulle's government, and he finally had to put them down, defeat them, and give Algeria its independence. And the French colons comment was, Algeria is French. It didn't work. 1958, Khrushchev succeeded becoming the first secretary of the Communist Party as well as premier of Russia. And he later came to the United States, and George Christopher was his host after he was rudely handled in Iowa and other parts of the United States, and of course people who were DPs and people who had escaped from the Soviet bloc were very unhappy about Khrushchev being a guest of President Eisenhower in the United States. In 1960, the Roman Catholic Archbishop of New Orleans, Archbishop Rummel, he ended segregation in the Catholic schools, and there was a lot of opposition to this. And then in 1968, if you've seen the movie Year of Living Dangerously, that was about the revolt in Indonesia, which forced out Sukarno, who liked a lot of women. He was called Big Bung. And General Suharto and his corrupt family succeeded Sukarno, and they literally looted the country for years. Let's see, what else is today? Okay, now among the things that I did promise Attorney Clarence Darrow commenting on the origin of crime. So we're going to play that that clip right now. Oh, what's the matter here? We got a little problem. Here we go, Clarence Darrow.
People think there is no cause for crime, except the pure cussedness of the ones they call criminals. But as a matter of fact, there's a cause for everything in this world. And there's no way to remove the evil without removing the cause. There's a cause for all sorts of human conduct, just exactly as there's a cause for all the physical action of the universe. The real cause of crime is poverty, ignorance, hard luck, and generally youth. These almost invariably combine to produce what we call a crime. When we look at the prisoners in the jails, we find that all of them practically are poor, at least 9/10, and these have always been poor. At least 9/10 began what they call a criminal career as mere children, 11, 12, 13, at a time of life when the ways of life are fixed. 9/10 of them also are ignorant. They've never had the training that every intelligent parent would think was necessary to keep their child out of prison and make him safe in the community. All of these things almost universally combined to put people in jail.
Now, that was Clarence Darrow talking, and he was a great lawyer, but he apparently did some manipulation also, and people should be aware of that. And, of course, there's growing, people are beginning to realize that the legal profession isn't what it used to be. The country may be over-lawyered. A lot of the corruption that we see in politics and in the public sector involves lawyers. And I always tell people who try to play the game, well, you don't have a bar card, that in the Watergate scandal, all of the lawyers involved, including the Attorney General of the United States, John Mitchell, went to prison. The accountant, Maurice Stans, Secretary of Commerce, he walked. And if you go and research history and political scandals, invariably you will find a lawyer involved. And Shakespeare, in one of his plays, had a line of, I think it was Hotspur, who said, they were talking, and the dialogue goes like this: when I become king, I'm going to kill all the lawyers. So, you know, this problem goes back to Elizabethan period, even further, probably back to Hammurabi. So we are beset with this crowd of people who don't... people who don't realize that lawyers are not the alpha and the omega, that they have a function, but they're not infallible. They're not necessarily, unless they do the research, they don't know everything. They're not omnipotent. And also, there seems to be a growing number of arrogance, especially with these younger lawyers. They get out of law school, and all of a sudden you think that they were Supreme Court justices, which they are not. These are things that we need to become aware of, that, you know, these people exist. They're necessary to draw up wills, to advise you, but they're not the only ones you need when you're, you know, when you need to do something for yourself, like when you're trying a case, or not trying a case, where you're defendant or you're plaintiff in a case. You need somebody who's going to do the investigation, and these lawyers generally do not investigate. They rely on people such as myself to do the research, the investigation of the case. So these are things that we need to be aware of. That you know, in fact, I used to say that some of the best lawyers are behind bars and some of the worst ones should be, and it's been my experience in 50 years to see some of these people. So we are going to, we've got a little problem here. I don't know what happened. you know, I'm just a little confused here. Why we're not, something disappeared. We may have to end earlier because of this problem. We'll be back Friday at 4 p.m. Maybe we'll, because I had to go to the hospital today and things are running a little late. So we will be back Friday at 4 p.m. It's Good Friday, but we will run the show and we'll update some things and go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas. We're going to, unfortunately, I'm going to have to, I don't know what happened here, but something disappeared. And so we're going to shut down and we'll be back Friday. Sorry about this, but these screw ups do happen. So good night, and we'll be back Friday at 4 p.m. Oh, boy.